Waitley on SEN.
In all the questions that sit over Australia's preparation for the T20 World Cup, the biggest is, does Dave Warner open the batting on Saturday night? Peter Lawler's the chief cricket writer at The Australian. Pete, welcome.
Hi, Jared.
Haven't things heightened as a result of last night on the way to the tournament opener for Australia?
Do you think it was a tactical move to kind of run a bit dead early on, not show your hand? It was an interesting game, wasn't it? You know, I'll start with the negatives. I didn't like the way David Warner left the field. Did you notice that, Jared?
Yep.
The demeanour, the look? I've seen that look before, and it was at the back end of the Ashes in England.
Yep.
But it was not until the back end. David's the most stoic and resilient of sportsmen, and one of the most resilient sportsmen I've ever seen. But there was just a hint of, God, this has got getting on top of me when he walked off. And he was dragging, it was almost like he was dragging his bat behind him like Linus dragged his blanket.
Yep.
That worried me. But also worried me that the Australian bowlers couldn't get a wicket. There's a bit to worry about there, but there were a few positives as well, weren't they? It's good to see Stephen Smith bat like that. I saw Cameron White on Twitter last night saying it reminded him of that very special innings against Pakistan in Canberra. Do you recall that 2 years ago? Like, mate, you'd have paid $100 to watch Smithy bat that night. It was outstanding innings and yep. Very creative batsman. It was nice to see him and Maxwell go along together. But they've lowered expectations. Good on them, because I think we'll take a couple of wins after that performance.
So how it feels, that the Warner decision is seismic for me, Pete, because on a few different fronts, is his the figure that he is within that Australian cricket team. Do you tear up your plans at the 11th hour? Do you cross your fingers and hope for the best? If you drop him now, what are the ramifications for what comes next? How big a decision do you think it is?
Yes, it's that big. It's as big as you've laid out before you're there. And it's a decision so big that I'm glad that I don't have to make those sorts of calls. I think it's too late to make it, Jared. I think you're strapped in, don't you?
I think that's right. So I'm really torn over it, but my gut feeling is it's too late to make it.
And you just have to back, David, that you know, you can't completely lose it, can you? But I wonder at what point, I mean, I'm clearly not a cricket coach nor a sports person, but I wonder at what point you put the house on red 23 and say, hey, mate, go out there and hit the first ball for six.
Yep.
It's a very difficult format to find your feet in, isn't it? Because you can't go out there and look to feel the ball and nudge it around and do these sorts of things. It's a very awkward position.
Do you think... So I find my mind wandering to what happens if Australia crash and burn at this tournament, which is a bit macabre, because that might not happen. They might straighten a few things out. But it just feels there is a magnitude over this that's not as easily dismissed as, oh, well, they're not our conditions. That's not our format for now. It doesn't have any impact on what's to come. In what is a – I mean, this is such a big summer for all that's happening in and around cricket.
Yeah. Well, I'm not sure if you're talking about – things that are going on in the background there or things that are going on in the foreground. Are you, if it's a question of David Warner and his form in cricket, yeah, that's massive. If it's a question of how that team's getting along with the coaching staff, Justin Langer, I guess we're talking about, that's massive too, because it'll put a lot of strain on going into the summer. And let's not forget, I reckon if you're Australia, you just tighten up a little bit, don't you? Mm. Well, you've lost two out of the last three series at home. You wouldn't want to do that again. I'll tell you what, the last bloke I want to see get off that plane is Ben Stokes. That will change the whole tone of the summer.
Yep. And it's a summer where there is no alternative but to win. And this team's been doing a lot of losing in its various guises.
Yeah, it has. It's ever thus. You can get away with losses. All losses overseas are to some degree acceptable. Losses at home are unacceptable.
Yep.
We see that in the fallout from last summer. And to lose to England at home is will be the end of the world for a lot of people. Let's remember what happened last time they lost to England at home. But, Jared, you're getting pretty gloomy here, mate, because
yes.
England is not. Okay? We both are. Stop it. You're dragging me down, pal. England haven't won a test match in Australia in a decade, have they?
No, but that's, I guess that's my point, Pete. We are, our fallback, and I don't think it's just the public or the media. I think it's the Australian setup. The fallback is England are no good. This will all be fine. I'm not sure that's a great premise to come at a pinnacle context from.
When I look at that Australian cricket team, Jared, I don't see that many problems. I don't see any more problems than you have in any cricket team at any point in time, except those times when you are really peaking or really bottoming out. And I don't see those signs with the Australian cricket team.
Okay.
I still have faith in David Warner. That's a fantastic bowling attack. And we'll get onto the bowlers, I guess, after this. But look at those people in there. I think you could have some faith in those people. But they've all done pretty well. They're very good cricketers, let's face it.
You broke the story yesterday, Pete, that James Pattinson has retired from international cricket, so he's not available for the Ashes. And one of the sentiments that was expressed is we never got to see the best of him. I don't feel like that. It's just we didn't see the best of him very often. He was so striking as a bowler, and I can picture the test, the return in Hobart against the West Indies and then the MCG against New Zealand when he was called in. Every time he played, he never looked like the fourth banana. Whenever I saw him play, I thought he should be in this setup. But injury and the preferred candidates of the other three quicks sort of just saw him on the edge of it. It is a great pity that he finishes without playing as much test cricket as we would have loved to see him play.
Yeah, I agree with you entirely. It's not that we didn't see the best of him, it's that we didn't see enough of him, did we? I mean, he was cursed, and I agree with you. You know, I remember that Hobart comeback game because they tried to re-groove his action, remember? And he stuck for a little while, and he just kind of kicked the shoes off, remember? He said, these are giving me blisters, and just went back to his old ways because he wanted to wang it. I also remember the excitement of his debut summer against New Zealand. I mean, he was a classic wild-eyed fast bowler,
yes.
Wasn't he? You know, he had this fantastic aggression. He could lift a side. Extraordinary bad luck. You know, some of it of his own making, some of it not. I mean, here's a bloke who, you know, he missed a test because he didn't do his homework. He missed a test because he fell over mowing the lawn. He missed a lot of tests because of the fragility of his spine. That operation that he underwent in New Zealand in 2019, the same operation that Bond had, pretty radical surgery. And while it has good results, the surgeon said to him, look, I'm not sure that you're too far gone to save. I can't, you know, this is touch and go for you. But he was so desperate. He went through it. And it's a hell of a lot of pain that back surgery and the recoveries from that, and to recover from five stress fractures, the physical and mental toll it must take on him is apparent in this decision, isn't it?
Yes.
That, you know, I just can't get up for another crack at an Australian summer, you know. But I'm happy to see him play first-class cricket and to have that pressure taken off his shoulders. And maybe, you know, I mean, what's the fun in following the team around and being the extra bowler there? But it's sad to see him go. He had an incredible strike rate. I think I read on Twitter this morning that he's somewhere between only Demon Spofforth and Pat Cummins have better strike rates than him. He's got the demon's eyes and he had Pat's early fragility, but some bowler. Good bloke too.
So I think his final act in test cricket will be, he took that ripper of a catch as the gloom was setting in at the SCG and Australia was trying to finish off New Zealand on day four. And he took that superb catch coming in from, I think he might have been at short fine leg anyway. So that'll be his final act there. Well, does it, I don't think he would have been in the Ashes squad anyway. Is it at all a setback for the Ashes campaign?
Probably not. I mean, how many quick, you know, that is one area where Australia's pretty blessed with some depth at the moment, but, you know, it can change very quickly, can't it? Brace yourself, Victoria. Imagine if the five frontline bowlers were all from New South Wales. Of course, Sean Abbott's pushing his way up there too. Any chance you could contribute to Australian cricket?
It's a funny way to finish, Pete.
Yeah.
Dismissed. Dismissed. Pete Lawler, you can have a week in the naughty corner. Talk to you next week. Chief cricket writer at The Australian, Peter Lawler.